Stay true, stay real, stay righteous.
What are you having to drink tonight, Chris?
I'm going to have me a Harbinger Imperial Sweet Stout.
Harbingers of War.
The Harbinger. Wasn't that like a character from Halo? No, his name wasn't the Harbinger. What was
the
his name? Arbiter. That was the Arbiter. I'm sorry. Wrong.
The Arbiter.
Anyways, it's an Imperial Sweet Stout, but it's really not sweet like you would think. It's not like citrusy or berry flavor or anything like that. It's more like a coffee taste to it. It's kind of like a coffee beer.
I was never into that. I've had some coffee beers before, things like that. And, yeah, they've never clicked with me.
This is by Jay Wakefield Brewing out of Miami, Florida.
Ooh, welcome to Miami.
Bing, bing. We're going to Miami. I remember that song. It was Will Smith, right? Yeah. Will Smith.
Right, good before grief. He was an asshole, right?
Actually, has he released any music since, like...
No, man, I think his rap career... The 90s? I don't... His rap career ended early. Yeah, he got into blockbuster stuff, man.
Yeah.
Independence Day, yeah.
Yeah, I remember Wild Wild West. Remember he did
That's right, yeah. Oh,
Men in Black.
That's right, he did like a rap music video for
Wild Wild West. I was thinking about movies, because we've seen a lot of these movies that are adaptations of, say, like cartoons or comics coming to real life. You've got all the MCU. We've seen Disney starting to do it with like a lot of their, taking their previously released animation films, but remaking them in live action versions.
Yeah.
Like what, Aladdin, what was another one? Cinderella, didn't they do like a Cinderella?
There's been a lot of variations of that one.
Anyways, I digress.
But I know what you're saying,
But I'm thinking about how, at one time we were growing up, that became really popular. You started seeing a lot of these live action adaptations, and I'm just thinking off a few. I remember they did like a Ninja Turtles. Do you remember they had like the live action Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, wasn't there a few of those?
They had a few. I think it was maybe even a TV show at one time. I don't remember if the TV show was very good or not, but I do remember there was a few films.
There was a live action
came
TV
out.
Show?
Is I think so. I really? Feel like there was. I could be wrong on that, but I feel like there was at one point. But I do know there were some films that were the Ninja Turtles. They were live action, and of course they had a cartoon which came from a comic series. And then you had things like, I remember like they made a live action Flintstones movie.
Yeah.
Remember that? They did that. I'm trying to think of another one they did.
Spider-Man was huge.
Spider-Man was kind of one of the early, I guess, modern kind of superhero coming to life.
It was before Christopher Nolan's Batman.
Yeah, right. I mean, we had some Batmans too. There was Batman.
We did, but not on the level of Spider-Man. Like you said, Spider-Man kind of brought a modern take to the superhero genre. Because, there was a lot of really cool effects they could incorporate.
Well, I just remember
it was a massive production.
I remember, when the very first Spider-Man came out, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. Man, it was huge. I remember everything.
It was one of those things.
Did we? I don't remember that.
Our mom got us two tickets. We went and saw it on
really?
Opening night.
I remember seeing it in the theater, but I can't remember specifically it was opening night. But I do remember seeing it in theaters. But I remember everything was it was one of those deals, right?
Huge.
It was so huge that, they were making Pop-Tarts. Remember the Spider-Man Pop-Tarts? Mm-hmm. Every Happy Meal was some kind of Spider-Man toy or whatever. It was big, man. And I feel like there's always kind of been this revitalization of kind of doing these live action films again. People are kind of bringing adaptations, trying to, I guess, because now film, we can really kind of bring some of these cartoons and characters to life that we couldn't do before, but.
Well, something that's interesting on the basis that you're talking about is the idea that we can now explore it deeper. Like initially, it was just bringing the concepts to life.
Like, do you remember when Scooby Doo they came out with like one or two? So they came out with
a live action
Scooby Doo series or films. But I'm sorry, it was just another example. But go ahead, what you were saying.
it's interesting because now you can take, for example, like in The Avengers, you know, it's probably one of the biggest movies in history was The Avengers Endgame. You take that into account, and that's based off like a run. I think that's Jonathan Hickman, I think, is the name of the guy who created the series. But it's more of like a modern run of the Thanos storyline. It's still different, kind of like what they did in the beginning. Instead of them just making a Captain American origin movie, a Thor origin movie, an Iron Man origin movie, instead of doing all of that, we've kind of gravitated toward this time period where we're now expanding upon these preset universes.
Well, and I think to be able to, on that note as well, because something like, using the MCU universe, I guess, and looking at, say, comic series, and we're seeing that even on television shows. They came out with The Walking Dead. They've got a few DC and Marvel TV shows, I know, that are out there, or series. Yeah. But because there's such vastness in those, in that type of lore and those type of characters and story, that people who try to bring them to the big screen or the small screen have found that you have to be very delicate about how you approach these certain topics. Because if you don't do it right, the people who really understand the stories and the depths of the characters and how the events take place in the actual comics or in the cartoons or whatever your source material is, like, they will shred you if you butcher it in any
way. Right, it ruffles feathers.
So I think that some people have probably not really wanted to attempt to try to tell a Infinity War story on film because they're like, man, I don't know how I'm going to do that. I don't know how to correctly show that on film and be able to get that same feeling that maybe a person who kept up with the entire comic series felt every time they were reading the next chapter. And it's like, oh my gosh. And now maybe we're reaching some of those areas where people are able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have, and another thing you have to understand is, so let's say that they were to make a event for event adaption of the real Infinity War comic, you know, storyline. Mm-hmm. Dude, it is on a much more massive scale. It is incredibly huge. There are so many things that continuously happen. There's far more heroes involved. There's the Fantastic Four. There's the Illuminati. There's everything that Marvel is just now establishing.
Your actors and actresses literally wouldn't live long enough to be able to make all the films to fill that kind of in-depth story.
Hey, I'll tell you something, and I know Marvel cashed in a little early because Thanos is probably one of the best. He's hands down one of the best villains, you know, in the Marvel universe outside of like Galactus. Even Gore the God Butcher, who's more recent, he's a really cool villain. But Galactus is probably one of the most prominent ones. What's the one? The Unknown, or whatever it's called. The one that's kind of the one above all. That's what it's called. It's kind of like the god of the Marvel Universe. But anyways, I think they cashed in a little early because they're now taking in a lot of concepts that are from, well, they're integrating a lot of concepts that actually have already been built within the original Infinity War storyline.
Mm-hmm.
They've brought a lot of those concepts in. They're bringing them in continuity after the Infinity War, and really in the actual storyline, a lot of those aspects are already incorporated. But
I think that even in when somebody's been able to release a film version or a live adaptation successfully, it's okay. I think people are sort of accepting that you're not going to be able to. There's no way you're going to pack in enough content to cover it all, but you can still do it justice if you do a good enough job to say, this is how I would picture this in reality happening.
Chris,
you know, it gives
Chris,
it closer.
It would have been the world's largest budget if they made the original Infinity story.
We don't have the technology to show this on film.
It would take a stupid amount of plot, and it would be a 4-hour movie. It would be stupidly long.
Who would direct it? Who would direct something of that
Peter
magnitude?
Jackson, naturally.
Peter Jackson would direct that?
Naturally.
Because he could do a lengthy film. He's done some lengthy.
My second vote would be Robert Rodriguez.
That'd
he
could
be interesting. He could do that. Because he would do it right. He would make it as violent as the real storyline is.
Hey, but you know what? You've always liked Robert Rodriguez style films.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when we used to make our amateur films when we used to do that when we were younger. If you directed any of them, you tried to shoot it a lot in the style of like a Robert Rodriguez.
Very similar to how he would do like his movies.
Or even
stuff.
A Quentin Tarantino kind of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're such, I mean, they're really fun to make. Like that's a really interesting way to watch a movie.
So what do you like about it specifically?
Well, it's always over the top. It doesn't have to. No, that's the whole point. Me and you are two fucking monkeys that get on a microphone. I mean, there's nothing serious about what we do when we do this. Like, that's the point of it. Nothing matters. And that's what's so fun
nothing
about the
really
movies.
Nothing really matters.
Have you ever seen the movie Machete by Robert Rodriguez?
Yes, and I've seen Machete.
And Machete Kills.
Yeah, Machete Kills, the second one.
Right. In Machete, I mean, he literally has like a chopper with a Gatling gun mounted on the center of, you know, he's a mounted minigun, and he like jumps off a ramp and just wipes out like a military base just by shooting, you know, his minigun that's mounted on his motorcycle. I'm like, I love it. I love everything about that. That's fucking hysterical. I love it. He's a fucking, from Dusk Till Dawn,
let me ask you this.
Dusk Till Dawn is phenomenal.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like sometimes they're almost I'm sorry, how do you say that?
Satire. They're satirical.
Satirical. Do you ever think that they're sort of satirical in the way that he portrays certain, like, action or,
so,
you know, this?
So I'll give you an
when
example.
Think of, like, the there's a purpose behind sort of the, you know, the flamboyant over the top.
So here's what him and Quentin
action.
So here's what him
violence.
Here's what him and Quentin Tarantino do really well. Him and Quentin Tarantino are able to take these really bizarre situations and make it extremely believable. That's what's so cool about it. What were you just talking about? What was the movie we were just talking about?
You had talked about From Dusk Till Dawn. You had left
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take From Dusk Till Dawn for example. So the movie. Spoiler alert. So From Dusk Till Dawn is kind of split into two parts. And it stars George Clooney, by the way. The premise of the story is literally split into two parts. It's about these vicious bank robbers who essentially get away with the heist. Like maybe the first 45 minutes of the movie is them literally getting away with this pretty intense heist. It's a crime thriller. And it's them taking, what is it, like a family, like a traveling, you know, preacher or whatever. Like,
yeah.
He's an ex-preacher. I don't know. It all plays into it. They literally take a family hostage so they can get across the border. They go to El Rey, which is kind of the rendezvous point for where they're supposed to meet their plug or whatever, their guy who they exchange, like, the cash with and get safe, you know, a safe house to stay at. When they get to this specific location, they end up going to in this bar for a night. Well, they go into the bar and they start drinking. It takes a total fucking flip on you. And all of a sudden, everybody in the bar turns into vampires. And it literally turns into a movie about bank robbers and a family of a guy that's a reformed preacher coming to terms with God and what he really feels about life, all banding together in the most incredibly believable way possible to fight vampires.
And especially when the guy opens up his cock revolver and begins firing.
Oh, it's
that
great!
Scene.
Oh, it's great! The biker, yeah, it's brilliant
because that's totally brilliant. That's totally believable.
Oh,
because
but it's brilliant. But I mean, you know, because think about it, the dialogue though is what makes it.
So you were talking about satirical films, and you also mentioned earlier you were rewatching
Starship
Troopers
on HBO. Yeah,
and
it's on HBO.
You had told me that. I mean, we've seen it before. I know we've seen it when we were younger.
Well,
it
came out in the 90s, yeah. So we would have seen it like when we were probably in high school or something,
sure.
Like in the early 2000s.
But you said that it wasn't until recently that that your perception of the film has been kind of different than what you come to realize that rewatched it again.
Well, no. So I initially remember watching Starship Troopers as kind of like a, it's like a take on Star Wars or something without all the density to it. It was just this really badass, you know, epic of these people, space marines fighting,
right.
You know, insects, you know, killing the arachnoids. Cool movie to watch. It was gory as fuck. It was all, you know, it was hardcore.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
over the top.
It was
a little over the top.
Straight over the top. So, it resonated with me a lot. I never conceptualized what I think the director was trying to convey throughout the movie. And it popped up on HBO Max a little while back. If anybody's got HBO Max, check it out. It's on there. It's awesome. You got to watch it. So I watched it the other night. I hadn't watched it in all these years. And when I rewatched it, it was fascinating because I was able to pick up on the nuance of the film. Because the film itself is almost kind of like, it's very satirical about...
It's almost like a recruitment.
It is. It's almost kind of like, you know, the spinning of you know, the military-industrial complex and the needless killing and death and stuff. I mean, it's fascinating. The movie's fascinating. But one of the things that is really resounding, and I was talking to you about this, was the fact that throughout the movie, they have all of these, like these war propaganda prompts that come up. You know, the Space Marines are winning. We will win. We will persevere against the Arachnoids. You know, it's like, it's these really...
We need you.
We need you to join to fight the bug menace. You know, it's these really goofy propagandist posts. But what's fascinating, and I was telling you, is after almost every one of the commercials, it has like a picture of like a cursor. Because this movie takes place in the future.
Right.
Like, it has a picture of like a cursor, and the cursor slides down to a button that says more. And then the announcer says, would you like to know more? So then another commercial, right? We're at war. The Arachnoids attack humans. Buenos Aires, knocked out, obliterated from existence. Would you like to know more? Like, it's fascinating because it reminds me, it's so reminiscent of these strange things that would pop up when, like, COVID-19 happened. And you would, like, hop on these websites and all of a sudden it would say, would you like to know how we're dealing with COVID-19? Would you like to know more? And it was really strange.
Variant BE12, would you like to hear more?
Would you like to know more? About this strain and what you can do to prevent the coronavirus. It was fascinating. It really blew my fucking mind because the movie itself is playing on the idea of the meat grinder. You know, I mean, people just kind of getting shipped off to battle and believing it's for a righteous cause. You know, it's a fascinating it's a fascinating play on that.
And the use of propaganda, like you said.
Right, because the movie screams satire. Like the whole conflict erupts under like questionable circumstances. Like, it almost seems like the government wanted a reason to go to war in the movie, in my opinion, after I watched it for the next time. But it literally follows these different units of people, you know, these different military units fighting the bugs, you know, the space aliens. And it's brutal. You know, I mean, they get chopped in half and they encapsulate like jarheads. Like, the Marines are just full on, you know, I mean, not the Marines, you know, the mobile infantry. They're just full on. You know, a good bug is a dead bug, sir. You know, I mean, they're into it. So it's fascinating because it shows you kind of what, this is the modern, these are the thought processes that you know, we are embedded with. These ideologies and the way the movie presents itself. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliantly done.
So you're watching it and it seems kind of crazy and over the top and even silly at times. But then you're like, wait a minute. But
like I see this
all
the time.
But you're like, that happens in the real world, though.
Yeah. War in Ukraine.
Oh, gosh.
Vladimir Putin, at it again.
Ukraine needs you. Or if you're interested, if you want to learn more.
Donate to BlackRock to support weapons manufacturing.
Elon Musk wants you to be recruited for Space Force. Only you can stop the communists.
Do you want to protect Earth from Vladimir Putin? Join the Space Force. Log on to Twitter to apply today.
I'm doing my part.
That's funny, Chris, in the movie they even have like kids. Yeah. They have like the soldiers standing in line. The kid walks up in the uniform. I want to join the service. And all the soldiers start laughing. You know, little Jimmy wants to be a soldier just like his daddy. Like, this is weird. I'm like, this is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Right. Absolutely brilliant in every way, shape, and form. Because it literally shows you what humanity would do. Even if we had the means of interstellar travel, we'd still figure out ways to start wars with fucking aliens.
Well, there's a primitive species. Let's go try to...
Let's find a reason to get rid of weapons. Right. Let's get a reason to bump the economy so we can all make money. Right.
Well, this technology isn't going to fund itself. Hey, like I've always said, I was like, that's when we seem to advance the most is when we're in war times.
Right. That's true. It's very true.
God dang, we're efficient at finding out ways to kill each other. Damn really? Efficient.
That's why the concept, to me, that's why the concept of, you know, the idea that we're already in hell makes so much sense.
Mm. We create our own hell.
That's what makes us so damn unique. That's what's so frustrating about the greatest question of all time. What are we? What happened? Are we a fluke? Are we just an absolute anomaly? We're the only things that can do this.
Hey, you know what I sometimes wonder? What if humanity's like Frankenstein's monster? Maybe our creator's actually afraid of us to some degree. What have I made? What is that?
Man, there's a lot of weird theories about that shit.
Master, why do you not love me? You make me.
Personally, I think there's something more to it, man.